The following shiur is recorded, edited, and presented to you by Kol HaLashon. We wish you an enjoyable and meaningful time listening.
Toyoway, Northwest London, Yisro Chag HaPesach, Bank Holiday, Rav Yeshua Hartman. What happened to Issa Chometz? Monday, the 5th of April, Yisro Chag HaPesach.
Okay, Shalom Aleichem to the tzibur that comes the first day after Pesach already, Bezrizus. Now, please say, what's your gut feeling when you see people immediately on Moitse Yom Tov want to go get a pizza? They run to Tesco. They get that first. You may look at it as something not so positive. And it may seem like they can't wait up until a week there and have chometz. And then they have to chaparain. Well, first, I want to tell you, the Vilna Gaon would make Havdalah, dafka, and beer. The Vilna Gaon. Even though usually with make on wine, on let's say Pesach, you would do it on beer to show that now you can eat chometz. So it's brought down the Maaser Rav to show that till now he didn't eat chometz because of the mitzvah, and now it's ois mitzvah, so he's eating chometz. So maybe let's down the kapsulas, those yidden that run immediately to get the chometz. There's something here hidden here. There's something maybe that's not so just giving into Yetzirah. Because if the Vilna guy did it, then he made Havdalah and beer, that means there's something really positive about this. Let's try to think what's positive about it. So, basically, it's really a pillar. Just a few hours ago, I'm talking 14 hours ago, in Eretz Yisrael, the Yitzchak in Eretz Yisrael, 14 hours ago, if he would have eaten the pizza, chiyuv koris. It's such a terrible punishment. And then, after Havdalah, like such a change. I don't know if it's a real kasha, because on Yom Kippur you're not allowed to eat, then you're allowed to eat. But nevertheless, there's some kind of extreme change between a chiyuv koris and suddenly becomes mutter. What? There's something to happen. But Erev Pesach already before, you're not allowed to eat chometz, it's not chiyuv koris. On the contrary, in Erev Pesach, you gradually got into it. There's isa chometz mi chatzois, but there's no chiyuv koris there. So built up a vessel. Not on the way out. Especially if I say that the Radbah says, and they all say that chometz represents Yetzer Hara, and chometz represents, you know, all the bad things in the world. So what happens? Suddenly now it's mutter. If that week it's representative of Yetzer Hara, of Sheker, of Gaiva, of Allah Shlechta Zachen, so suddenly now it's mutter, and it's even a mitzvah. What's going on here? So first, I want to maybe to come up to explain what happened to Yitzchak Chometz, and to put it in a little bit in a positive light. That what the Yidna Midler are running afterwards, there's something positive about it. So let's start. Let's talk with this Yisrael. So when it comes to Pesach, one of the names of the Yom Tov is, it's called Chag HaMatzos, right? And we once spoke about this, that you really think about it, is that the center message of Pesach? Apparently, yes. I'll prove it to you. It's five times in the Torah that's mentioned the parsha of Shalosh Regalim. Five times. Shalosh Regalim Tochog Libashana. Not in Sefer Breshis, but in Sefer Shmois twice. Parshas Mishpati and Parshas Kesisa. And then each Chumash once. Parshas Emor, Parshas Pinchas, Parshas Re'eh. Five out of five, each time it mentions Matzot, it mentions the mitzvah to eat Chag HaMatzos. And mentions the mitzvah of eating matzah. Five out of five. And Ephes, like they say in Israel. It's Sheshes Yomim Tochal Matzah, Shivas Yomim Tochal Matzah, Shivas Yomim Matzah Yochel. Five out of five. You mention Chag HaMatzos, you also mention with it the Chiyuv mitzvah of eating matzah. Sukkot, I'm just giving an example, one out of the five do you mention to take a lulav in a sukkah. In Parshas Emor. The other four times, nothing. You don't mention any mitzvah sayam. Chag ha'osiv v'tzeh sashana. Chag ha'osiv v'tkufa sashana. No. What's the chilek? So the chur, just to bring out the question, sukkahs make sense. You mention it once, it's enough. Why do I have to mention it more than once? Adar, but sukkahs make sense. Pesach, that you have to mention every time matzahs, 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 what does that show? That it's not shaykh to mention matzahs without Pesach. The opposite, to mention Pesach without matzahs. It's intrinsic of the yomtiv. What's so intrinsic about it? So if I say, I always keep on muscle, they bring up this nakuda, already for years, people, I'm going to tell you a story now, which is 80% emes and 20% not. I'm telling you in advance. I don't want to be a liar. What I'm going to tell you now, 80% is emes, 70% maybe, and 30% is not emes. I'll tell you afterwards what's the 70, what's the 30. So that's okay, right? You remember the ones, those are my age, remember the Entebbe, the story in Entebbe in 1976? Quebec? You remember what happened there? On a Sunday, that Air France plane was hijacked to Libya, then to a place called Entebbe, Uganda. Immediately, the terrorists divided to three groups. Group number one, the Goyim. They were released the next day. Monday or Tuesday, but like very, very soon. They were released immediately. And then afterwards were the Yidden who were not Israeli citizens who were released by Thursday. One of them was a bachur who was 17 years old, and as history unfolded, his daughter got married to my son. So I have a mechutin from Entebbe. And the Israelis were left mamash till the very end. And then the terrorists started saying this. Israel's not going to start releasing terrorists. They're going to start executing each day 10 passengers. And they would do it. Elisham Zafik. They would do it. And then Israel had a policy that they don't deal with terrorists. It's a long, finished. It's finished a long time ago. You don't deal with, so what's going to happen? One of the people on the plane was Chizkiel ben Aaron, the Chonon Abracha, who was the Kohen in our shul. Then he was a man in his 30s. And he told me the following. That when that Moshe Shabbos, they already said they're going to start executing on Sunday. That Moshe Shabbos, he helped the shluff a missile. I remember I asked him, how do you fall asleep if you thought maybe it's your last night in the world? Because I'm a yeshiva bocha, we were trained to sleep under all circumstances. That's what he told me. Then go to sleep, then you put on pajamas, you know, and get a bed, and then for the whole week. You sit in the corner somewhere, you catch a little corner, and you go to sleep. But he took off his watch, he took off his belt, you know, to feel smooth, and his glasses. And then suddenly at 3 o'clock in the morning, the Israelis come. I thought it was a bluff in the beginning. How could it be? No one dreamt about it. And he said, Mamash, what the Mason are going to feel when they're going to come out, that's what we felt. We felt we're dead. And suddenly we're alive. But the first thing the Ugandians did is when they cut off the power. That's the first thing they did. So it's pitch dark inside the terminal. The Israelis anticipated this. So they had these very powerful projectors outside to show the way to the plane. But inside, choshech miflag. So he said, immediately understood what's happening. So immediately he chopped his glasses and put them on. He chopped his watch, put it in his pocket. And then he's looking for the belt. And he couldn't find the belt. And people start running around already. So I guess the belt was kicked around. He made a very crucial decision. Forget about the belt. I'm not going to stay in Uganda because of a belt. And he ran to the plane without a belt. It just happens to me that he was on the diet before and he lost weight. And he really needed the belt. But okay, what can he do? So he was holding on to his trousers, like illustrate to me. And he ran to the plane without a belt. Not a foot. He spoke English fluently, and when he landed, he was interviewed by, then there was no CNN, but by ABC, NBC, and CBS, American networks. And from time to time, he had to readjust his trousers. People thought maybe he developed a nervous twitch, or what is it called, you know, machlazek. And then, this was Gimel Talmud, if you remember. The next year, Gimel Talmud, he calls me up, Chizkiel. I was 19 years old then. And he says, I'm doing a Siddur Seder on the yard side. If you don't mind, please come. It's just for men. If you don't mind to come. I said, Mr. McGill, I'll come over to your house and catch your knitting. If you don't mind, please come without a belt. That's what he told me. I said, why? He said, I ran to the plane without a belt. I want to commemorate the fact that I ran to the belt, to the plane without a belt. I said, remember, I asked him, can I come with a suspenders? How's it called? Braces? Can I come with that? Name. He asked him, being without. I said, okay, I thought it was a little strange, but fine. We got together, we're a bunch of chavah, and we were kibitzing around. Where's your belt? Where's your belt? Uh-huh. And then he went on, he stepped out for a moment, Chizkiel, to his wife, Tzipora, told us, you're making fun of this belt business. You should know that by my husband, it's a big tzach. First of all, he calls his redemption Chag HaChagula. And he thinks it's cute because Chet Gimel in both words. Chag is a belt in Hebrew, it's called Chagula. Chag HaChagula. And she said, there's not one belt in this whole household today. Now him, me, or our five children. None of us have belts here. All the belts were thrown out. Tomorrow we're going to buy new ones for everyone. And that's what I did year in, year out. I want to ask you, if you would have a daughter in Shidduchim, and hypothetically Chizkiel ben Aaron would have been a Shidduch candidate, would you consider him as a Shidduch for your daughter? Or maybe you would say, I have to check out something. I'm not saying it's impossible, but check out. There's something here which looks a little strange. Anybody who studied basic psychology, what's the first siman of someone going off his rocker? And we have to study it as teachers, and we saw the chinuch in Israel. What's the first sign? Not muchach, but a sign, hey, check it out. If the ikar becomes tafel and the tafel becomes ikar, that's a siman muvak. And that's what's happening here. The main thing is that he was saved from danger. He was about to be executed, and he's alive. Yeah, belt, no belt. He could mention it by passing. But to turn it into the focus? To call up Chag HaChagula? And get all the belts away? And ask your guests to come without belts? This seems you're taking something trivial, because other people did have their belts on. It wasn't such an important thing. You're taking something trivial and making it an ikar. So I wouldn't passel him as a shidduch, but I would look into it. Adkan is a story which is 70% true, 30% not true. I'll tell you afterwards the 70 and the 30. Look what Amiswell does. We were in slavery for 210 years. Tortured, suffering, avoid us parach. All Hashem were redeemed. When we came out of Mitzrayim, we didn't have enough time to bake fresh rolls. So we baked crackers, which got our main matzahs. And that became the focus. It's not called Chag HaChagula, it's called Chag HaMatzahs. We didn't get rid of our belts, we get rid of the chametz. And there's a chiyuv chorus for eating chametz. And there's three mitzvahs in the Torah of the Tariyak, pertaining chametz. Bali Roe, Bali Matzah, and mitzvahs Nesef Tashmishu. Could you tell me what's the difference between what we do with matzahs and what Chizkiel ben Aaron did with the belt? Is it really that important what kind of food you ate when you came out of Mitzrayim? Do you remember what you ate 3 weeks ago on Tuesday night? That's the kid, the whole set of the Chag. Why isn't it strange? The food that you ate when you came out is what? Why is that so important? So on the belt story, we're all giggling on the cheshbon of Chizkiel ben Aaron, but we're a joke. Could anybody tell me as far what's the difference between matzahs and the belt of Chizkiel ben Aaron? Here we didn't have enough time to wear a belt. Here we didn't have enough time to make matzahs. Chizkiel ben Aaron making a whole issue out of his belt sounds strange. We make a whole issue that Kushba made a whole issue. Out of the matzahs, that's perfectly normal. What's the chilek? So we say, here comes the Maral. And the Maral explains in the Sfan, in Brus Hashem, in Gur Aryeh, that what we are, let's explain it. He said something here, Rabbi said that some say that he preceded Albert Einstein by 350 years. With the Yusuf, I'm going to tell you now. he explains the following. The boy said, what is timeless in this world? It's tangible, you can even touch it, and it's timeless. What is it? Tell me something which is timeless, and you can almost hold it in your hands. What is it? Timeless. And you could take Torah, the castle of Torah, but the separate Torah, the clothing is not timeless. After a while, you have to repair it, write it over. It's not timeless. Tell me something tangible, physical.
Kol Halashon.
And it's timeless. After a while, they pop. What evaporates? Ein balanes bakir benisa, guys. You know what's physical, intangible, and it's timeless? Am Yisrael. Am Yisrael. Mark Twain, if I got to bring a rhyme from a guy. Mark Twain spoke about the immortality of the Jewish people. Right? He published an article in 1898 in Harper Magazine here in London. And brought them in his beautiful English, and he was a question mark. The Babylonians were here and gone, and the Greeks were all over and gone, and the Romans were here and gone, and Am Yisrael's still here. What's the secret of their immortality? That's what Mark Twain asked. The way I saw the way the article's quoted, it ends with a question mark. Maybe he came up with the answer to that, I don't know. But the quotation ends with a question mark. What's our secret? You know, this is what he wrote in 1898. After what we went through the last 123 years, whatever. First World War, the Shoah, going back to Eretz Yisrael. What would he say today? A million times more than Kasha. What's our immortality? We're timeless. So first, when I ask you, not as individuals. Individuals were born and we die. But the Jewish nation goes on forever. And who's the Jewish nation? You, me. Is that tangible? Yeah. Can I touch a book? I can touch a book. No, you got to keep a social distance. I'm sorry. Right? We are timeless. Come on, let's not overlook it. The Yiddish folk will live forever. Apostle that we read on Shabbos. We are timeless. Why are we timeless? What does it work? That's another issue. But that's a fact that even the goyim notice. Even despite all the efforts to wipe us out, but we're timeless. We're nitzchik. That's a merzik azach. The Yavitz writes in the Siddur, it's a bigger nest than Kriyas Yamsuf. This going on of Am Yisrael. Okay, when timeless people are born in the world of time, Yitzias Mitzrayim is our birthday. When timeless people are born in the world of time, how does it manifest itself? They're timeless, but they're born in the world of time, which has a sun and a moon, and conduct, right? So how do you work it out? So regular people who are bound to time, you know, over a period of who knows how many years, they become people, and then tribes, and then after a while a nation, and they just like a time. But Am Yisrael, who are timeless, and they're introduced to the world of time, how do you solve it? How do you work it out that timeless people are introduced to a world of time? What's the Eitzah? Zok the Heleke Maral, Chipozim. Chipozim means quickness. What do you mean? How does that, that's overcoming time to a certain degree. How are you overcoming time? You've been doing it at this Jesus. Because A, you're using time less. The commodity, which is called time, is being less used when you do it quickly. But after Albert Einstein came to the world, we know Pashal Gemara means. What was the biggest chiddush of Albert Einstein? The rule of relativity, that time is relative. What did he say? Do we know what he said? That when things go in speed, there's less time. And if things would go in the speed of light, there would be no time. You know that? That was the chiddush of Albert Einstein. Time magazine called him not only the man of the year or the man of the decade, the man of the century. Because of this chiddush. That time is relative. And if you do things in speed, time is used less. And to the highest level of speed, light, so then there's no time at all. Now we know a little bit of still what the Ma'al is saying. The Ma'al is saying when things are done b'zrizus and b'chipotan, you are trying at your best to overcome time. Not totally overcoming time, because we're all physical, but it's an effort to overcome time. Chipotan is that we're trying to overcome time. Matzahs are representing that we are timeless. We were born b'chipozon. Matzahs is our identity. We are people who are not bound to time. B'haraya, that we came out of Mitzrayim b'chipozon. It has nothing to do with the belt of Chizkiyahu ben Aaron. The belt of Chizkiyahu ben Aaron is stuck in Narish guy. That's a side point that has nothing to do with anything. And taking something trivial and making it ikar is a red light. But that we came out of Mitzrayim b'chipazim, manifested by the matzahs that we're eating, that's what it's all about. That we are timeless people. And timeless people come out b'chipazim. Someone who forgets that, taken is kares. Kares means he's disconnected from his identity. He doesn't remember what's his identity. So that's what chametz represents, that we're bound to time, and no, that's not us. And that's like I'm doing Pesach. Chametz is a terrible iser, because it's done b'shihui zman, says the Maral. B'iku zman, he says in another place. It's consuming time. No, we have nothing to do with time doing Pesach. We're overcoming time. How do you overcome time, even in the world of time? The pshara is chipotin. Okay? Well, boy, but I got news for you. There's a pasuk in the Sheol, Hergnun Beis, pasuk Beis. And over there, Novi Sheol says, Ki lo b'chipozim teisu. The Gula Atita will not be done b'chipozim. Leibodek, chavre! Leibodek! It says, Ki lo b'chipozim teisu. You hear what Novi Sheol says? The Gula La'asita will be lo b'chipozim. He says explicitly, Perknut base, posim base. And you say, oh, ki lo b'chipozim teitzu. It's like the Ma'al and Netzach, Perknut Zayin, v'lama achiluf hazeh? How come Mitzrayim had to be done b'chipozim and the Gula La'asita is not b'chipozim? Look, he goes out of his way, Yishayel, to say, ki lo b'chipozim. It won't be done b'chipozim like the first time. Ma'ishtana, the Ma'al asks it. And that's what it's all Pergnum Zayin. Ubiro in Yazeh. So I'll tell you in my English what the Ma'al saying. When time is an enemy, you have to overcome it. And time is a Dover Megusham. How do I know that time is a Dover Megusham? Was time something created? Or was it just there? What do you say, Rabbi Zayin? Was there a Nibra called Zman? What I'm saying? Yes, yeah, very good. The Tzibur of Tamadei Chachamim. The Gemara says, Asor Mamers, Nivoralam, what's the first Mamer? Reishis. Breishis. Breishis Nami Mamerhu. Right? What was created with the word Breishis? Says the Goyen, and the Sforno said already earlier in Chumash, time. Time is a Nivra. It's the first physical thing created in this world. That's time. We cannot even fathom what does it mean to live without time. How would I tell you, if there's no time, let's meet in a half an hour? We can't understand a life without time. But there is a bria called time, and it's kashmi, it's megushimdik. It causes people to forget values. How do I know? The Rambam says, what's the remnant of shofar? Uri yisheini mishnaschem, wake up. Eilo anoshim ha-shokhichim es ha-emes l'havlei ha-zman. That's the lesson of the Rambam. Zman represents when things are going. You know what Zman does? If you don't work on that, take something new and makes it old, something exciting and makes it routine. That's what Zman does. We got to fight Zman. We have to make Kaddish Zman. So we look at Zman as an enemy. And then when you look at Zman as an enemy, so try to avoid it. Try to use this less as this bottle. Have Zrizus, you know. We have a passion, have a drive. The Ost is lovely. The world will become Ruchni as well. And time will not be viewed as an enemy. And time will not be looked upon as someone that you have to avoid at your best efforts. Therefore, Lost in Love, the Navi says, you won't have to look at time as an enemy. Because the whole world will be Mis'ala, and the Gashmi will become also a Shtikal Ruchni. And it will be manifested the first thing by time, because time is the first Bria. That's what the Maharal says here, and that's what it's all in his lesson. La'asid lavoi, Zman will not be Megushimdik and pulling us downwards. Zman also will be Misraimen and will become holy. Therefore, there's no Inyan to overcome Zman. And therefore, there's no Inyan of Bechipasim. So we say, so maybe now, Dan Lekaschus, why people immediately might say Pesach when they get a pizza. And the first reaction, as we pointed out in the beginning, is, yeah, well, they can't wait. As I pointed out, the Goyen made Havdalah on beer. The Goyen. It's brought down the Maaser Rav to show that Pesach is over. What's this excitement to eat chometz, to drink chometz? So instead of looking at it as giving into the Sahara, a week without pizza is too difficult. Well, upshot. You know what I mean, Chava? We're waiting for the next Geula. The next Geula is Lo B'Chipotah. So you won't have to eat matzah in the next Geula. You could eat chometz, it will be fine. Hi, chometz represents the Yetzahara and Atzlut and Gaiva and all the Shlechta Zachen. That's today. That's today, in the world that we live in today. But eating chometz immediately on Mitzvah Pesach and the going making Havdalah on beer is showing we're anticipating the next stage, that time will not be an enemy. The Araya, the Navi says, Lo B'Chipasen. If there's no Lo B'Chipasen, there's no Indian of Matas, and then there's no problem with eating chometz. It's a subconscious yearning. Magu'ula Asida. Benisim Nigalu, Benisa Nigalu, Benisim Asidim Ligol. No! We want the Geula to happen. And since that next Geula is Shelo B'Chipasen, so we're both saying, there's no problem with Chomet. Again, the Maharal's in Perakim and Netzach Yisrael, at the end of Perakim Zayin, the difference between Geula Rishayna and Geula Asida. Rabbi, just to make clarify, what's the 70%, what's the 30%? I'm sure the Oilam wants to know. Okay, so his name, I changed his name a little bit. Chisko Ben Aaron, that's his name, but I want to change it a little bit. He was in Entebbe. He did wake up and did not have a belt. And he did run to the plane without a belt. And he was interviewed on CBS, NBC, CBS, from time to time, rearranging his trousers. That happened. He did ask us as a joke, guys, if you don't mind, come without a belt to commemorate the way I ran. He does not call it Chag HaChagua. He didn't call it Chag HaChagua. And he did not throw all the belts out of the house. He was, Be'em is a very nice, normal, balanced individual. Be'em is. He's not alive anymore. No. I heard just recently he wasn't there. Well, Mekhi Cheshbon was 1976. How many years ago was that? 44. And then he's already 40. Okay. 45 years. Then he was 45 then. Okay. You know, time goes by, Rabbi.
No,
what?
I thought he was a contemporary.
No. He was always older. Yeah. He was a Baal Mishpacha. I was 19 then. So anyway, I'll still tell you what we say. He was a normal, very normal Gishmakiyid. He's Zichro Baruch. I use him always as a story to bring out the Indian of the belt. I take it a little step further. But he did everything normal. A normal Shayyid. Just I want this to be clear that no one should have any circus. A boy says, so we should eat chomet, but not because I can't wait to get my pizza. I'm waiting for the geula, which will be shalom b'chipatim. And there'll be no need to ban chomet. A boy says, we should be zoicha b'ez Hashem, to la geula asida b'mheira b'yameinu. Amen.
The shiur you've listened to was recorded and edited for you by Kol HaLashon. You're invited to continue listening at any time to all the shiurim and drushos in all topics by all the Rabbanim on Kol HaLashon.